Good morning. It is so good to be with you again. We were discussing earlier this morning, it was just last summer that I was here, so it hasn't been too long. But yeah, it is so good to be here, and I'm going to be here after service to talk about all things Kenbrook. So maybe you have questions about summer camp. I'd love to talk with you more about that. We offer programming for kids 6 through 18. So come and talk to me about that. We also have summer staff positions if there's a young adult in your life that's looking for a summer job and wants to have fun with a group of kids. Kenbrook's a great place for that. But we also have things throughout the whole year. So we actually have a hymn sing coming up here in a few months where people just come up, they enjoy a free lunch, and we sing hymns together. That's always a nice day together. We have a dad camp, which is a program for dads. We have one coming up for middle schoolers, so that's going to be coming up here in March. And then in the fall, we have dads of elementary, that's a hard word to say, age students. So dads come up with their kids for the weekend, and we have seen the impact of dads just being equipped to be a good father. So that is also a great time together. If you're part of a group here and you're just looking for a way to serve in the community, come up to Kenbrook. We'd love to have you for a day and just come and serve on site. So we offer opportunities for that too. So any questions about any ways that you can connect at camp, I would love to talk with you after the service. What I'm going to do this morning is share with you what our summer theme is for 2026. And this will give me a unique way to give you some updates of what God's using Kenbrook for and some of the hopes and the dreams that we have for this summer and beyond. But anytime we choose a theme and a verse and something that we're going to focus on, it's relevant for all people, even us adults. Maybe some of us are getting to be a little bit older adults, right? It's still very relevant to us as we learn what it means to know Jesus and to live each day for him. So we all have something to learn in this. So I want to give you a little glimpse on some things going on at camp and then also challenge us to live as we talk about what it means to be a new creation in Christ. So the theme verse for this year is going to be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So that's where we're going to start today. And 2 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul, right? This is a letter to the church in Corinth. And there's a reason that he is sending this letter, because Paul has planted this church and has kind of started. And then some other people kind of showed up and said, you know what, we're actually the real apostles, not Paul. Don't pay attention to him. He doesn't really dress real nice. He has no money. He's not a great public speaker. Like, why would you even listen to that guy? We are truly going to bring you the truth about Jesus. And in response to that, Paul's like, well, wait a second. And he writes them this letter and says, let's remember and go back to what we talked about while I was with you. And in the midst of this, we have 2 Corinthians 5, where he gives this whole picture of reconciliation. What it means to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to one another. And he's giving them this because these false apostles have kind of led them astray, and maybe their relationship with God wasn't what it once was. But also now there's some conflict between this church and Paul himself. So he wants to teach us as Christians, how do we stay close to God and grow close to his presence? And how do we stay close to one another and do life together well? So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. It says this, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And this is our key verse for this summer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So those that are in Christ, those that have faith in him, their sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' sacrificial death for us. And in verse 15, we read this: they should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Such people are a new creation. So they're not going to live as they did before, but they're going to live as their new selves, associated with the righteousness of Christ. So that's who they're going to be from this day forward. They're born again. God's Spirit lives inside of them. They are children of God. They're now connected to his family and to his church, and will spend eternity with him in heaven. Now, if we stopped right there, that would be more than enough, right? That God has done all of these amazing things for us. But it's just the beginning. Because I want us to look at the larger story of Jesus' death and resurrection that made this all possible. But that is not the beginning of the story. Because God's story with man started all the way at the beginning of the Bible. And he made all of these promises to his people along the way. And it surely doesn't end once I receive his salvation. Like my time with him, my relationship with him, it doesn't just end there. That's just the new beginning that he is giving me in Christ. So we're going to look a little bit at God's promises today and how those promises were kept. We're going to look how God is present constantly in our lives. And then we're going to look at his plan, how he has invited each of us to be part of his ongoing story, one that is far greater than any story that we could have imagined. So let's begin here with God's promises. Because long before Jesus walked the earth, God was already telling his story. And we could look throughout the whole Old Testament and see all these places where God interacted with his people. And he promised them that there was a coming Messiah, someone who would come and take care of all of the brokenness in the world, that would make all things new, would make that relationship between God and man possible again. So I want to look at one of those prophecies right now. If you have your Bibles, look at Isaiah. So we're going to be in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, we get this prophecy, we get this picture of this coming Savior and Messiah. We're going to start right in verse 1. It says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." Now, we could look at a number of prophecies from the Old Testament. You're probably wondering, why did he choose this one? Because this is our imagery for this summer. So not only do we have a key verse, but we have this imagery of being a new creation. And you'll see on many of the slides, there's a stump in the corner with a new growth that is coming out of it. And if you know who Jesse is from the Old Testament, he's actually the father of King David. So we see that something coming out of this line of people is going to bring the Messiah. But also in this prophecy, we kind of see something weird, because it's not this growing and flourishing line of kings that's going to bring the Messiah. It's going to come out of a stump, meaning that someone has chopped this tree down, right? This thing that was once growing and flourishing has now been chopped down, and this Davidic line looks that it's over. It's through that that God is going to bring new life, that new growth is going to come. God does stuff like that all the time, doesn't he? The thing that he least expects us to use, that's the thing he chooses to use. So we're promised that this king is going to come from this line of King David. And this king is going to embody all of the qualities that we see in these verses. So he's going to have wisdom. He's going to have understanding. He's going to have counsel and might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. And he's going to be marked by things like righteousness and faithfulness. If you have ever read through the Old Testament and read about all the kings that served in Israel and Judah, those two words are not used very often. There's a few that do a fairly good job of following God. Many of them do evil in the eyes of the Lord, right? That's what we read over and over again when we read about the kings of Israel. But this one is going to be different. He's not going to be flawed like those old kings. He's going to be one that's going to be marked by righteousness and faithfulness. And now we have the New Testament. We know that this is all fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And we could look at Matthew 1 and we could look at Luke 3 and it would remind us that Jesus is a descendant of King David. And when we start to think about Jesus's earthly ministry, we see the glimpses of his kingdom breaking in. It's his miracles, it's his teachings, it's his sacrificial death on the cross that demonstrate the justice and the mercy that will characterize his reign. And when Jesus came, he didn't just point to some future kingdom. He said, God's kingdom is here and now. Wherever he went, the sick were healed, the broken were restored, sins were forgiven, hope came alive in people's lives that had lost all hope. But we also know that the kingdom of God is not fully here yet. Because when we look at the world around us, we see that division and pain still exist everywhere we go. Creation still groans for the Savior to return and to make all things new. But the prophet Isaiah, he's saying to us, it's begun. When this Messiah comes, it will start. But yet we know it's not quite finished yet. And we live in this beautiful tension. The kingdom is here. Christ has come. The king has come. But yet not all of it has been revealed. God's story is still unfolding in the world. In Christ, we are new creations and becoming more like Jesus, just like Isaiah pointed. But yet there's still lots of work to be done, right? None of us are truly like Jesus. So Isaiah 11 gives us a glimpse of where this is going, what the Messiah is going to come and bring for us. But we also know that that is still a work in progress. At Kenbrook, we have seen God's faithfulness and his promises come to life. It was way back in 1949, over 75 years ago, that there was a group of people sitting in a Sunday school class that thought, you know what? What if we just took some area in the woods and built a camp? I'm picturing they were like sitting around eating lunch and kind of came up with this idea that they were going to build a camp in the woods. And I don't know, but I guess back in 1949, you could move a lot quicker than you can today because within a year, they had built that camp and kids were starting to come and enjoy summer camp. So they had limited resources, but a lot of faith and trust that God could do this. And from the beginning, God kept his promise to just be present with those people up at camp. Year after year, campers encountered Christ, not only through the Bible teaching, which was a huge part of it, but the community that was formed there, the times of worship that they had together, and this beautiful space that God provided. And this really helps us to live out our mission to help people connect more deeply to God, themselves, others, and nature. And God's promises continue to be lived out at camp. This year, we'll have nearly 12,000 guests that will come and be on the grounds. These could be kids coming to camp. It's youth groups. We have school groups that come throughout the year. There's church groups that come. There's pastors that come for spiritual retreats. all of these folks come onto the ground and they experience the presence of Jesus in that place. And God continues to keep his promise by just being present. And he gets to use his faithful people to plant those seeds of new creation. Sometimes it's as simple as a camp counselor. I'm just sitting with a child many times, you know, especially Sunday, Monday, they're homesick. You know, they haven't been away from home and now they're just broken and that person just sits close next to them and just expresses Jesus' love for them, that God is present with them, that they love them, that they are going to be present with them for the week. And that seed of new creation is planted in that young person. And it's continued while they're there. Their hearts are being shaped. They're being reconciled to God. And they're being invited into this story that God is telling that is far greater than themselves. God has been faithful at Kenbrook across generations, across seasons and stories. And this is the same work he's doing in each of us. Because the question is not whether God is present in our lives. I think we've all had those times where we've questioned and said, God, where are you? And God's answer always is, I'm right here. I'm right next to you. I've never gone anywhere. I'm not sure where you're at, but I'm right here, present with you. And it's that presence of God that continues to make all things new. We read this in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Paul is reminding us in these verses that new creation doesn't begin with what we do. It began with what Christ already has done. And the fact that he promises to be present with us. And that is our second takeaway from this morning. Christ is with us now, reconciling us to God, reshaping our lives from the inside out. And this is a truth. This is a reality that we can live in our everyday lives. We can turn away from our old ways as Christ makes us new by being constantly present with us. I was recently at an event where I heard a man named Peter Reed. He is the director of Torchbearers International. And he was sharing this story about how he was serving Christ. And there was this gentleman that was working alongside of him who had a few years on him in ministry. And he just noticed that he did life differently. And Peter shared he was trying so hard to follow Christ with his life and was struggling to do it. And he said to the person, how are you doing this? And through that conversation, he came to this realization. He said this, Christ is my only hope to be a Christian and my only hope to live like Christ. He went on to discuss how he was learning how Christ not only died and rose again, but he rose again to live inside of him, to be present with him always. And I think the first part of that is really easy, right? We can't be Christians if Christ doesn't die for us, right? How can we be a follower of Christ if Christ hasn't saved us from what we need saved from, our sin, our separation from God? But if we're truly going to live like Christ, our only hope is to accept that Christ lives in us. I can keep trying harder every single day. I can give myself a pep talk. I can say, John, today's gonna be the day you're gonna live like Christ. And if it is just totally up to me, guess what? I'm gonna fail each and every time. But when I acknowledge that Christ lives in me, that his spirit lives in me, that's the only way I can hope to live like Christ. We have this growing dependence to need to recognize that the living Lord lives inside of us. And because he lives inside of us, there's this daily transformation that happens through a relationship with him. It's not a one-time moment, but each and every day, him reshaping us so we're more and more like Jesus. And instead of looking at the world through our eyes and listening to it through our ears, we get to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. And it totally changes how we look at the people around us. I hope that the rhythms that we set up at camp make their way home. Because we know as a camp that we play a very small part in the year of a person. So whether they're coming for a retreat for a few days, or whether a kid's coming to summer camp for a week, that's our small moment with them. And we really hope that in those times where they get away from the craziness of life, right? Our young people, we actually force them to leave their cell phones at home, so that's really good. We hope that there's opportunities for them to connect with God, to hear God's voice, to make big decisions in their lives, to start new habits. That's what we're really hoping that camp is. And then that goes home with them. So each day at camp, we have this thing called tag time. It's time alone with God. And we love making a little devotional for our young people that will focus on this whole theme of being a new creation. And they spend every morning after breakfast just time in the Word, prayer. Sometimes it's just quiet. Sometimes it's just enjoying the creation around them. And this is something that we encourage them to start at camp that we hope goes home with them. As they get a little bit older, we encourage them, like, hey, you're taking this fast from technology while you're at camp. What if you actually did that at home? What if on a Friday night you actually just like stuck your phone in a bin somewhere and didn't pick it up for 24 hours? I know that's radical. I'm sorry. But what if we did that at home? What if we fasted from technology? What if we chose to get away from people and just spent time in solitude with Jesus in prayer, in reading scripture, in worship, on our own? Again, breaking away from all those voices that are in our lives. So we give them these real tangible ways to experience God's presence, to engage with God. And then we counsel them with this. So we have our time alone with God, and then we have our young people that sit and do their truth talks with them, things that God is teaching them, this opportunity for young adults to kind of be mentoring children. We have evening sessions where we come together for worship, and we love to invite pastors from within the BIC to come and to share what God is teaching them at these evening sessions. And we hope through all of these times together that these young people really feel the presence of God and have this understanding that God is doing something new in them, that he is making them a new creation, that there's a process that they're in that is making them more like Jesus. There's actually a name for this process. We call it sanctification. That's not a word we use at camp too often. But that is the process of the Holy Spirit working inside of us to make us more like Jesus. And as we yield and we surrender God to God and to his will, the Spirit is given access to more and more of us. We're more likely to hear his voice. We're more likely to say, yes, God, I will go and I will do that for you. Those words I read in scripture, they actually make sense now because the Spirit is speaking to me and I'm listening to his voice. And we get sensitive to that voice. And we get committed to living a life that really reflects who Jesus is. And as we listen more to the Spirit, we start to see the fruits of the Spirit come out of our lives. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This summer, we tried something new with some of our older campers. During their day, we offered electives for them that they could sign up for, and there were a bunch of different things that they could learn about. So one of the sessions was on, you know, Bible study, and we gave them some tools to do Bible study. One of them was on just faith questions. I don't know if that was a good thing or not, because, man, these teenagers came with really hard questions. And there were a few pastors there looking through all of these questions, trying to answer these really difficult questions that our young people have about faith and the world that they live in. Man, they were challenging us that day. Well, one focused on prayer. And again, we are looking to give them tools that they can take home with them and that they can live out in their daily lives. So we did these scripture-based, we call them breath prayers. Have anybody ever heard of these before? Breath prayers? Yeah, so a few people. So we were just working with these young people, and these are an example. This is an example of a breath prayer. It's just, it's scripture. It's just, we breathe in, I find rest in your shelter. I find rest in your shelter. Another one was, be still and know you are God. Psalm 46. How many of you have told a young person to just breathe before? Or someone that was just panicking and you're just like, calm down, breathe. What a wonderful tool to teach an anxious generation. That not only can we breathe, but we can literally breathe in and out the words of God, the truth of God. So we're doing this time with these campers, and there was just a young person who was just really drawn to this. She was really excited about this, and we didn't know a ton about her home situation, but we did know this. She was not living with her parents. She was living in a group home. And again, we didn't know the details, but there was brokenness there. And she just was really, really connecting with these times of prayer. So the leader of this elective is kind of like observing all of this. And at the end, she's like, do you just want to borrow the book for a few days? And this young girl, she just lit up. She could not believe that someone was going to let her like take something of value with her and have it for a few days. And we were just blown away by how excited she was to continue to learn about this practice. And finally, we were like, why are we letting her borrow it for a few days? Like, Amazon's an easy way to get a book. Just give her the book. So we gave this young lady this book, and you would have thought we gave her a piece of gold. Like, she was just so excited to have this meaningful way to connect with Jesus, and she was going to take this home with her. She was seen. She was valued. She experienced a way to connect with Jesus in a real personal way. And I hope and pray for that young lady that that continued long after camp. We've spent some time reflecting on God's promise of a Savior, one that would bring reconciliation and make it possible for all of us. We've talked about how that promise was fulfilled in the life and death of Jesus. We focused on his constant presence in our lives, how he's always there for us, how we can always speak to him. And he's making us new, a new creation, recreating us all the time through the work of the Holy Spirit so we can live like him in the world. And we're going to finish with this, God's plan. Because God's goal is not just to simply make us new and then just leave us there. He invites us to be part of what he is doing. As he transforms us, he's inviting us to reflect his grace, to carry this message of reconciliation and point others to that hope that we find in Christ. We read this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now we know Paul was writing this to the church in Corinth because they needed to be reconciled to God, right? And there was also some personal conflict there. But we're being called to the same thing as Christ followers, to be people that reconcile others to God, to show them what it could mean to live a life following Jesus. We are ambassadors of this grace, carrying this message wherever we go. And as we are led by the Spirit, our desires start to shift. All the things that we were living for before, we say, you know what? None of that matters anymore. God, what do you want me to do for you today? And if we're listening to the Spirit, as we share this message of reconciliation with people, it's not just words. It's not just the words coming out of our mouth. It's the life that they're seeing us live out each and every day. That we love Jesus, but we actually show it with the way that we live. And this is our hope for everyone that comes up to Kenbrook. That it's a place where they really connect with God, that their relationship is reconciled to God, that they experience his presence in real meaningful ways, that they're given the opportunity to live it out in a safe place. That's a cool part of our camp. You learn new things, and you can actually try it out before you leave. And I'm not just talking climbing wall and stuff. We get to do all that fun stuff too. But when we learn new things about Jesus, we get to actually try it out with people around us. But then we have to leave. We have to leave the woods. We have to go home. Maybe we're not surrounded by Christians like we were in that camp setting. And we have to be God's ambassadors of grace in those new places. Because we don't want it to just end at the campground. We want it to go everywhere that we go. So that's home, that's church, that's in our schools, that's in our community. Wherever Christ leads us, our workplaces, we want that same message to go with us. So as we leave here today, as we leave Manor Church and we go wherever we're going after this place, can we carry the work that God has begun in us? The ways that he shaped us, is that going to lead how we see, how we speak and how we respond to those that we come in contact with? I'm going to encourage you, just find one opportunity this week. Extend God's grace. Pursue reconciliation with someone. Offer hope in a situation that has really gone bad. Let's step back into the world today as intentional ambassadors of Christ, ready to reflect him wherever he sends us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for being a promise-keeping God. You are one that promised a Messiah, a Savior, that would make all things new again. We are so thankful for Jesus that he came and made that all possible. Lord, we're thankful for your presence, how your Spirit lives in us and continues to guide us and to make us new each and every day as we trust and just yield our will to yours, Lord. And we are thankful that you have a plan. A plan that includes each and every one of us as ambassadors of your grace. That you send us into the world, Lord, into the community, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our families, with this message of reconciliation, that you want to be close to them. So, Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place today, that we live that out. That as we reflect you and as we reflect your Spirit, that others are led into a relationship that has been reconciled to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.